Sean, an interesting but fantastic choice for first rejoin this morning.
Yeah, Greg, it's actually National One-Hit Wonder Day today.
Oh.
Shout out to Steve, listener of the program, DMs me all the time with music suggestions.
Oh, okay.
Wanted me to make sure that I was aware that it was National One-Hit Wonder Day, which I was.
That is smack dab in the middle of my wheelhouse, you know.
Yes, it is.
So I would I would like the opportunity to pick some of them this morning.
I would love that.
Being that I live right in that neighborhood, the one-hit wonder neighborhood, 70s and 80s. So if that's okay.
Of course it's okay.
I will offer a list of suggestions.
Just from the 70s and 80s?
Huh?
Just from the 70s and 80s?
Mostly, I mean, the 90s. There weren't as many real one-hit wonders.
Oh, there's one. I know for a fact there's a good
one. There's one,
one
that the 90s, I'm thinking of.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
that's a good one.
Uh-huh. I thought you were thinking about Courtney's Wedding.
Actually, I could probably name five or six from the 90s.
What, just songs?
Curtis, one hit wonders. And that one came back, as they always do. You were there for it.
Oh, God.
But anyway, why are we talking about that? I am in a very happy, loving relationship. Please
so
don't, bring up the wedding.
I will never again.
Please don't.
I know. Oh.
Which one were you? I hope that Chime and I were thinking of the same one.
I think you were all thinking the same.
All right, you ready? Three,
two, one.
Top
Mambo
thumping.
Number five.
Mambo number five. Yeah. Nobody likes Mambo number five.
I was thinking Jumbawamba all day.
What?
I was thinking you guys would think an Ice Ice Baby.
Oh, well, yeah.
That sounds like a good one.
Yeah.
But Danny Berger, Uncle Vanny.
I don't know what's going on today, but I like it. All over the map.
Ice, baby.
Well, tomorrow, heads up, tomorrow we're doing the show from Foxwoods, from Michael Schlau's restaurant, Altastrada, for the Echo Store Invitational Golf Tournament. Echo Store, huge partner of ours, not only on this show, but on the old WAAF show, and can't wait to be down there for that event. And we'll be joined tomorrow morning by PGA Tour professional Jake Knapp, and a lot of great stuff to talk to him about. Got a win in his rookie season, Shine, which is pretty good.
Yeah, he won a tournament in Mexico. I forget the name of it at the moment. I think it was like the Alta Vista tournament or something like that.
Okay, so that's tomorrow. On Friday, Jelani Tavai on this show on a Patriots Friday. This is, before we get to today's leads, this is David. David, good morning.
Good morning. You know what makes your show great, guys, is
what?
That you guys can talk about anything, sports, whatever. It makes it so much fun because there's all kinds of things going on, and that is why you guys are so awesome.
Oh.
And thank you,
David.
Because
David, thank you.
You're welcome. You guys are extremely welcome.
And
so,
by the way,
the reason I was calling in,
David.
Yes.
Beautiful pair of Skechers that you're wearing this morning.
Skechers, what the heck is that? Come on, I'm a flip-flop guy whenever I can.
Okay. All right.
So the reason I was calling about the Celtics, we all know the Bruins own the Garden, but when you think of the Garden, when you speak of the Garden, the Celtics come to mind first.
Yeah.
So to me, they can't move. Anytime you talk of the Garden, it's Celtics that comes to mind, not the Bruins.
You're lost. I'm not being facetious here, but you're lost in the old days, like sentimental old.
Right.
This old head take.
Right.
The owner's
not looking at it that way for the Celtics.
Doesn't matter. Like I get the attraction, the sentimentality of the parquet, but you can bring that to the new arena.
Right.
Who gives an F?
Right. Because for the owner, it's all about owning the building and being able to capitalize off of that. So.
And it's also time for a new arena. Like, it's time for new. Like, you look at some of those places where they have the luxury suites at floor level.
The Clippers Arena.
Yes. We don't have that.
No.
Like, and so.
Greg, how long have you lived here?
57 years.
Okay.
Almost 58. Don't do anything special for my birthday on November 3rd if you're a listener. Don't send me gifts.
I won't. We'll just have an election a couple
days
later.
Please don't.
So what year do you think the new arena will open?
2030.
Yeah.
Ooh, that seems aggressive.
Yeah.
My guess is James is in high school and it gets open.
If Bezos is the owner, that thing happens
if it's
quickly.
Bezos. No. But other than Bezos, I don't think so.
I mean, it's from, look how quick they're throwing things up.
It depends on how green they're willing to make it, pun intended. Right.
It's not about building it either, though. It's about getting the city to pass it.
Well, right. Guess you know what they're going to do? Same thing Jay-Z's doing in New York. You see what Jay-Z's doing?
No.
He's saying, hey, listen, if you give me the bid for me to build this casino in New York, I'm going to throw the city $250 million.
Oh, I saw what Jay-Z was doing, and it was shredding documents and getting rid of evidence. But, okay.
I think if Bezos comes in and says, listen, you allow me to build this arena, I'll help with the infrastructure.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Hov. But help.
I mean, I get no respect. Look at that total. I mean, the range I have on music.
There you go. It's pretty good.
Thank you.
But that's what these politicians want. Who's going to help with the infrastructure? Who's going to help with fixing the roads and all that? Is it going to be taxpayer money? If Bezos comes in and says, listen, put your money away. I got plenty of bread here. I'm going to build it, and I'm going to throw the city of Everett some money, or wherever, the city of Boston some money to make sure infrastructure's there. We're going to build them. Another tunnel from who the hell knows, from Boston to Everett.
Listen, you know how long it would take to build another tunnel?
Oh, no, I'm being facetious on that one.
Imagine if there was a tunnel directly into the parking garage for the new arena in Everett. That's all it was. It was a tunnel right into the garage.
You know my new favorite thing about Boston is that we totally tear apart streets that are perfectly fine and then wait 2 months to actually repave them.
Oh, the street going from Southie to the highway right now, Curtis?
My car is literally going to be getting $10,000 in damages going over these things. And it's like, the other question, I know it doesn't snow very much anymore. All the speed humps all over Boston. You can leave your jokes at home.
I was going to bring that up because I was in your neighborhood yesterday going to Goodwill to drop off some of the clothes that I was forced to remove from my closet. And all of those, every single back street,
yep,
like off of Broadway, has like 5 speed bumps in it. And it's a quarter mile long.
Exactly. So, and when it snows, how do you plow that?
I don't know.
Have we thought about that?
I think the plowers, they know how to work
the
speed bumps.
Do they know how to do it equitably?
We want
equitable plowing at
that
all
is
times.
True. Well, we got to ask the female plow drivers this year.
All right. What'd you say? It's National One-Hit Wonder Day.
Correct.
Shime taking your requests on his DMs. And, of course, in Twitch. You can watch this show on Twitch. Just go to Twitch and follow WEEI. Shime, always in the Twitch chat. And so suggest the one-hit wonder for a rejoin right now, though. We got to get to this.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
Do you know the dad joke with that one, Curtis?
I do not.
From when I was a young man in the 1980s, when that song came out, Olivia Newton-John was very popular. And some used to, not me, but some used to reference that song and say it was better than Grease on Olivia. but let's get to today's, thank you, let's get to today's leads. Shime, good morning.
Morning, Greg. So this is a cut for you from yesterday. Tommy Curran was on with Jones and Keefe and had this to say on the idea of protecting Drake May and kind of what Tom envisions that as.
I think my definition of protecting him is protecting him from looking like a boob. And I think that that's what should be the approach. The notion of protecting him from taking a thrashing, I just can't subscribe to. They're all NFL players. They're all going to get hit. If he gets hurt, that's part of the deal, unfortunately. You don't want him to. You want him to, when you send him on the field, say, you know, be cautious. We're down 21. Very little time left. You don't have a lot of protection. Discretion is a better part of valor here. So I think that would be the way to approach it. But I think that, and I strongly believe that their mindset is, it's protecting him from being in a situation where he makes horrible plays and doesn't know what to do.
Here's a fun fact. By sitting on the sideline, you don't learn how to navigate a certain situation that you've never been in before.
How about you? You don't learn to overcome adversity.
I would like to say, if Jaden Daniels hadn't played the first 2 weeks, do you think he makes that throw to Terry McLaurin on third down with 2 minutes left in the game? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Like that you learn how to deal with the situation by being put in the situation. If you thought you were drafting someone that you were going to throw into a situation and he was going to look like a boob, you shouldn't have drafted him.
Right.
Like that's right. It is nonsense to me. And so that's why I love Tom, but like it makes no sense to me why he wants to keep Drake May on the bench. He even says like guys get hurt in football. It's going to happen. You don't want it to happen,
right.
But it does.
What they're doing, it happens to rookie quarterback. It happens to rookies.
Right. Everybody looks dumb in football.
Get over it. It's the NFL. Get over it.
Right.
That's nonsense.
Yeah.
If they're sitting him this entire season because they're afraid that he's going to look like a boob.
Right.
Like, get out of here.
Like, that he's going to look like a young rookie quarterback that makes
sense. But that's not what they're fearful of, Greg. It's not that they're afraid that he's going to look like a boob. It's they're afraid how they will look if he looks like a boob.
And specifically Elliot Wolf.
Correct.
Right.
But, like, by not playing him, when you first do play him, it's not going to help him not look like a boob. He's still going to make rookie mistakes because he hasn't experienced it yet.
Yeah. Doesn't it make Elliot Wolf look more like a boob by not playing him?
Boobs.
He feels that way. I think he has been given a long runway on a rebuild. I don't think he cares. I think he's looking at this as what this team is in three seasons or five seasons. That's what he's looking at.
But if he doesn't care,
there's no rush to win games.
Right, but if he doesn't.
When it comes to Elliot Wolf, this season is a throwaway.
Right, but if he doesn't care, then why? Then who's he afraid of looking bad for if he plays and looks like a boob?
I don't know. The rest of the NFL.
I feel like this is like when I used to hide the report card so I could get through the weekend. It's like you got to see how he looks at some point.
Yeah. All right. Great lead, Shine. We got to take a quick break. We'll get to Curtis's lead and to Courtney's lead and to Wiggy's lead and to my lead coming up.